You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Monday edition. I don't know where you were when you learned first of the mass shooting in El Paso. I learned of it in the afternoon. I was in the library doing some research and updating one of my blog posts, and I went to Drudge and learned of it and followed it from there. I don't normally post between shows. Usually when I post, it's after the show. But this time, I posted it because I know they would be a lot of interest. But I also knew because I've done probably, I've lost count, half a dozen of these shows. And I don't look forward to it at all. And it is a tragedy. But you have to ask yourself the question, is it preventable? I really don't think it is. Because once you have a determined individual, and most of these mass shooters plan what they're going to do very well. They're not what we would call mentally ill. I call them evil, and that's exactly what they are. But to think that passing a law will stop it is absurd. Evil has been with humans since we first became human. Writing laws is not going to stop anything. And that's usually the reaction, because the people demand, we have to stop this, we have to stop it. Now, the answer to some people is take everyone's guns. Usually the people that do that turn out to be the monsters. And I do mean that. Look at Nazi Germany, look at the Soviet Union, look at communist China, and I could go on and on and on. Governments kill people. All governments kill people. They have the power to kill people. And when they get in the hands of people that have no regard for human life, no matter what their political ideology, they have in the past and will continue to the future to kill people. They don't like dissent. They will imprison, torture, and if necessary, kill people. That's with Mao. That's with Stalin, that's with Hitler, and the tyrants throughout history. And there have been worse, actually. Those are pretty bad. And the first thing they want to do is limit the rights of law-abiding citizens. In the United States, we have the right, because it's in the Constitution, to defend ourselves by having the right to keep and bear arms. The American people, by huge majority, support the Second Amendment, and they will resist those that try to eliminate it. Now, there is, in the Constitution of the United States, a method to do away with the Second Amendment, and my suggestion to the people that want to do that, that's the way you have to do it. They know they would never get it accomplished. That's why they will use any method they can to try to disarm or make it difficult, if not impossible, for the American people to keep their arms. They're authoritarians, they're totalitarians, and yes, we have them in this country. So yes, I was disturbed with the killings. The killer, the shooter, lived in Allen, Texas. Now, Allen, Texas is a suburb of Dallas. I've passed through there several times, but it's many miles from downtown Dallas. He drove over to El Paso, at least a 9 to 10 hour drive. I've driven about half of that. It's tiresome to drive, because once you get outside of Dallas and Fort Worth, it's mostly desert. And then when he arrived, he planned this, folks. Don't think that this was premeditated murder. Now, in any mass shooting, the early reports will have some of the details wrong. I knew that. As of right now, 22 22 people have been killed in El Paso. 22. Most were going to Walmart, and I think he picked El Paso. I think that was deliberate on his part, and he also picked Walmart. I think that was deliberate. Oh, yes, he had trouble with illegal aliens invading this country. But that does not mean he was a Trump supporter. His so-called manifesto makes clear he's not. These were young men, products of the public school system, and it might surprise you, but he was, I would term him, an environmental wacko. Where do you get that from? High school. And that's where we get the Green New Deal that would wreck the U.S. economy. Now, I don't take the Green New Deal seriously because I don't think it'll ever be law. The American people do have some common sense left. But who are the people in this country that want to do away with the Second Amendment? It is the Democratic Party today, and also some in the Republican Party. You need to protect your right to keep and bear arms because there's a concerted effort by one, if not two, political parties to eliminate that. They are afraid of the people. That's why one of the first things the socialists, the communists, and dictators do when they gain power is disarm the people. That's why, for example, today in the Islamic Republic of Iran, it's difficult to overthrow the regime that is not popular with the Iranian people. The regime has most, not all, most of the weapons. And that's why the second thing they do is gain control of the media. Today, that's television, radio, and the newspaper. They want to limit your freedom. And to the extent that you get these authoritarians, totalitarians, tyrants in power, they go about it somewhat methodically. And if we ever make the mistake and let down our guard, they will be coming for your guns. The American people need weapons to defend themselves and their property. From who? First and foremost, from the criminals in the society in which they live, their local community. You can't rely on the police to come. I think everyone knows that. It takes minutes, many minutes, if they come at all, and by then you could be dead because the criminals don't obey the law. That's why I say you can pass any law you want. It's not going to stop the killing. What's not in the news every day is the killings in our major cities. It's not a mass shooting. It's one or two or three. But the numbers add up to thousands. Actually, the homicides in the United States have been going down. Down, ladies and gentlemen. But that doesn't mean in any city on any day, whether it's New York City, Chicago, Los Angeles, Dallas, almost every day, if not every week, there's one or more people killed and many more wounded. In El Paso, the death toll is now 22. Two people that were in the hospital died today, Monday. In Dayton, I used to live outside of Dayton in Fairborn, but I'm familiar with Dayton. Haven't been there in years. The death count was 9, and the shooter was killed. If he had gotten into the bar and he was right at the front door when the police killed him, there could have been many, many more deaths. In both situations, you have people that were injured, some critically. In El Paso, it was now 24. Two of the injured have since died. It's 22 dead, 24 injured. In Dayton, it's 9 dead, 26 injured, some of them seriously. In both instances, the shooters, note I'm not, I could say their name because I have it in the headline, but most people forget the names of the mass shooters. The idea is you don't want to make them popular. That's what they're looking for, attention, so we won't give them their names. No, that's the wrong attitude. You really should know as much about these people as possible. And the common pattern you see is they plan this. Days, weeks, months, even a year ahead. They're not mentally disturbed. They're killers. And they killed in El Paso Saturday and in Dayton Sunday morning. And what was surprising is, and it was, I really think, shameful, I decided to listen to the three talk show, Face the Nation, Meet the Press, the Fox, Chris Wallace's show. And to a person, the Democrats on the panels, we're blaming Trump like he killed these people. He's responsible. He's a racist. Well, I'm sorry, but the people that are calling Trump racist are the very people that lie to you, including in the media and the politicians for over 3 years, saying Trump was in cahoots, conspired, colluded with the Russians, and there's absolutely no evidence of it. And now the mantra is Trump is a racist with no evidence. I'm sorry, if you can't prove it, most Americans don't believe it. Their credibility, to say the least, is shot. I don't believe him anymore. Why would I? Why should you? Anyone can accuse anyone else of anything they want. Doesn't mean it's true. It's clear to me that many Democrats, especially the ones running for president, but many Democrats and many in the media truly hate Trump. They are deranged by him. And I think the problem they have is they've never met a Republican president that fights back. I mean, really fights back. Now, let me make clear, I'm not a Democrat or Republican. I've given up on both political parties because they're both big government parties. And they made a mess of the financial situation of this country, as well as a mess of the economy. That said, there are many things that President Trump has accomplished that I agree with. But there are a few very important issues that he hasn't accomplished what he said his goals are. And there's a reason I'm bringing this up. When Donald Trump was running for president, and I think the main reason Donald Trump is president today is he made it very clear he was going to build a big, beautiful wall with a door in it, at least 1,000 miles, which frankly is not enough. And then he was going to deport and remove all the illegal aliens that are here. Now, I support that. Illegal invasion of this country over the last 33 years has resulted in anywhere from 30 to 60 million illegal aliens that are living and working, and their children are being educated in the United States, American worker citizens' expense. The overwhelming majority of American people are pro-immigration. I'm pro-immigration, provided it is legal. You see, the American people believe in the rule of law, even if their elected government officials do not. And many of those are lawyers that deliberately broke the law. But the American people have been demanding in both the Democrat and Republican administration is to stop the invasion and roll it back. That's where the American people are. They're against illegals crossing, whether it's the U.S.-Mexican border or flying in on an airline legally in a visa and overstaying it. They want it stopped, and they've been demanding it be stopped. But neither political party will stop. That's Democrats and Republicans. Why? Why? For the Democratic Party, especially the presidential candidates, who I don't think have a prayer being elected, they want to make the United States a single-party country, very much like the former Soviet Union and the communist Chinese government today. But they have a problem, a fundamental problem. They don't have the numbers. Now, that doesn't mean they cannot get the presidency, and they did for 8 years under Obama, or control the House. But they know to get a lock on that so they can control Congress and the presidency for decades into the future, they need to replace the many Americans that are leaving both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party because they no longer believe either party. They don't trust them. They've been lied to by Democrats and Republicans and big lie media, your major television networks and newspapers, the few that still exist in our cities. They're disgusted with it. They are. They don't have time to waste trying to figure out what's true and what's not true. But on these Sunday shows, they were all blaming Trump. It was like Trump was there giving instructions as to how to kill the people at the Walmart store, both outside and inside. You see, they changed the big lie from Trump was colluding with the Russians to now Trump is a racist. And now they're saying Trump is a white supremacist. And they're trying to make the case that the El Paso shooter was a pro-Trump supporter. He wasn't. Oh, apparently he is a racist. They actually found one that killed other people. So I want to play what I thought was an outstanding statement address to the American people by President Trump today. And this is from the White House.
Good morning. My fellow Americans, this morning, our nation is overcome with shock, horror, and sorrow. This weekend, more than 80 people were killed or wounded in two evil attacks. One Saturday morning in El Paso, Texas, a wicked man went to a Walmart store where families were shopping with their loved ones. He shot and murdered 20 people and injured 26 others, including precious little children. Then, in the early hours of Sunday morning, Dayton, Ohio, another twisted monster opened fire on a crowded downtown street. He murdered 9 people, including his own sister, and injured 27 others. The First Lady and I join all Americans in praying and grieving for the victims, their families, and the survivors. We will stand by their side forever. We will never forget. These barbaric slaughters are an assault upon our communities, an attack upon our nation, and a crime against all of humanity. We are outraged and sickened by this monstrous evil, the cruelty, the hatred, the malice, the bloodshed, and the terror. Our hearts are shattered for every family whose parents, children, husbands, and wives were ripped from their arms and their lives. America weeps for the fallen. We are a loving nation, and our children are entitled to grow up in a just, peaceful, and loving society. Together, we lock arms to shoulder the grief. We ask God in heaven to ease the anguish of those who suffer, and we vow to act with urgent resolve. I want to thank the many law enforcement personnel who responded to these atrocities with the extraordinary grace and courage of American heroes. I have spoken with Texas Governor Greg Abbott and Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, as well as Mayor DeMargo of El Paso, Texas, and Mayor Nan Whaley of Dayton, Ohio, to express our profound sadness and unfailing support. Today, we also send the condolences of our nation to President Obrador of Mexico and all the people of Mexico for the loss of their citizens in the El Paso shooting. Terrible, terrible thing. I have also been in close contact with Attorney General Barr and FBI Director Wray. Federal authorities are on the ground, and I have directed them to provide any and all assistance required, whatever is needed. The shooter in El Paso posted a manifesto online consumed by racist hate. In one voice, our nation must condemn racism, bigotry, and white supremacy. These sinister ideologies must be defeated. Hate has no place in America. Hatred warps the mind, ravages the heart, and devours the soul. We have asked the FBI to identify all further resources they need to investigate and disrupt hate crimes and domestic terrorism, whatever they need. We must recognize that the Internet has provided a dangerous avenue to radicalize, disturb minds, and perform demented acts. We must shine light on the dark recesses of the Internet and stop mass murders before they start. The Internet, likewise, is used for human trafficking, illegal drug distribution, and so many other heinous crimes. The perils of the Internet and social media cannot be ignored, and they will not be ignored. In the 2 decades since Columbine, our nation has watched with rising horror and dread as one mass shooting has followed another, over and over again, decade after decade. We cannot allow ourselves to feel powerless. We can and will stop this evil contagion. In that task, we must honor the sacred memory of those we have lost by acting as one people. Open wounds cannot heal if we are divided. We must seek real bipartisan solutions. We have to do that in a bipartisan manner that will truly make America safer and better for all. First, we must do a better job of identifying and acting on early warning signs. I am directing the Department of Justice to work in partnership with local, state, and federal agencies as well as social media companies to develop tools that can detect mass shooters before they strike. As an example, the monster in the Parkland High School in Florida had many red flags against him, and yet nobody took decisive action. Nobody did anything. Why not? Second, we must stop the glorification of violence in our society. This includes the gruesome and grisly video games that are now commonplace. It is too easy today for troubled youth to surround themselves with a culture that celebrates violence. We must stop or substantially reduce this, and it has to begin immediately. Cultural change is hard, but each of us can choose to build a culture that celebrates the inherent worth and dignity of every human life. That's what we have to do. Third, we must reform our mental health laws to better identify mentally disturbed individuals who may commit acts of violence and make sure those people not only get treatment, but when necessary, involuntary confinement. Mental illness and hatred pulls the trigger, not the gun. Fourth, we must make sure that those judged to pose a grave risk to public safety do not have access to firearms, and that if they do, those firearms can be taken through rapid due process. That is why I have called for red flag laws, also known as extreme risk protection orders. Today, I'm also directing the Department of Justice to propose legislation ensuring that those who commit hate crimes and mass murders face the death penalty, and that this capital punishment be delivered quickly, decisively, and without years of needless delay. These are just a few of the areas of cooperation that we can pursue. I am open and ready to listen and discuss all ideas that will actually work and make a very big difference. Republicans and Democrats have proven that we can join together in a bipartisan fashion to address this plague. Last year, we enacted the Stop School Violence and Fix NICS Acts into law, providing grants to improve school safety and strengthening critical background checks for firearm purchases. At my direction, the Department of Justice banned bump stocks. Last year, we prosecuted a record number of firearms offenses. But there is so much more that we have to do. Now is the time to set destructive partisanship aside, so destructive, and find the courage to answer hatred with unity, devotion, and love. Our future is in our control. America will rise to the challenge. We will always have, and we always will, win. The choice is ours, and ours alone. It is not up to mentally ill monsters. It is up to us. If we are able to pass great legislation after all of these years, we will ensure that those who were attacked will not have died in vain. May God bless the memory of those who perished in Toledo. May God protect them. May God protect all of those from Texas to Ohio. May God bless the victims and their families. May God bless America. Thank you very much. Thank you.
That was President Trump in the White House. I didn't vote for Trump when he ran in 2016. I don't trust him. I suspected he was going to break his promise on a number of hot-button issues with me, especially in the immigration area. He's not built 1,000 miles. He'll be lucky to build 400 to 500 miles by the end of his first term. Now, I think he will get a second term. Even with the election 15 months out, I think he will, because I don't see anyone on the Democratic Party that, frankly, is in his legal. They're not heavyweight. Oh, there are a lot of talkers. But we don't need talk. We need action. And we need action that deals with the problem. One of the premises of Trump's speech that plays to the American people's belief, but it's simply not true, is all of these shooters are mentally ill. They're not mentally ill. I'm not saying you might not have one or two that are. You have. But most of them are not mentally ill. Usually, they're suicidal or homicidal, many times because of drugs that they're taking, combined with the ideology, the ideas they get over the internet through social networking. But most of them are not mentally ill. If anything, the mentally ill are more likely to be victims of a mass shooter than actually the mass shooter. And that's what the American people, including me, don't want to admit. It's real convenient to say, well, they're mentally ill. Mental illness is a big problem in the United States. And there's a certain, unfortunately, stigma attached when people actually seek help. And now these two instances make it, you could see why they don't want to seek help. Oh, he could be one of those mass shooters. There are people that truly are evil. They don't mean to do anyone any good. They want to kill them or torture them or brutally attack them. We have more than enough laws on the books today to prosecute these people. But I think it's unrealistic to think you'll ever be able to stop them. So instead of stopping those that are determined to do a mass shooting, what we do is we go after the guns of law-abiding citizens, thereby disarming them and disabling them in terms of protecting their own family, themselves, and their property from those that are criminals with criminal intent, whether to rob them, attack them, and in some cases kill them. The American people are tired of the government and Democrats and Republicans trying to disarm them instead of vigorously prosecuting and convicting the shooters. Usually, most of these shooters, a large percentage, let's put it that way, either kill themselves or are killed by the police. That's what happened in Dayton. They want to go out in a gunfight, if you will. And they know, most of them know, they most likely are going to get killed. They're planning it. Some hope to get away with it, but most are realistic. They want the attention, and they get the attention. There's a video, and let me, before I forget, the way you listen to the Pronk Pop Show is go to pronkpops.wordpress.com, and if you do that, underneath my photograph, you'll see links to the most recent shows, 60 to 80 shows. But under that, you'll have some of the background information, some of the information I looked at in preparing the show. And I give it to you for your consideration. It's up to you to have an open mind. Whether you agree with me or not, I really could care less. Many do, but many others don't. I don't agree with anyone 100% of the time. And that's the normal situation. But I wanted you to be informed about this. See, what I found very, very disturbing, because it's a very revealing statement by one of the candidates for president on the Democratic side, Beto O'Rourke, Francis Robert O'Rourke. Oh, he was unambiguous in calling Trump a racist and responsible for this. Now, you might give O'Rourke some room because why? He was, until he decided to run for president, representative of the El Paso area. But he lies about people. Now, he's not going to admit it. Listen to what he had to say.
I wish I was seeing everybody under different circumstances and conditions. Our sympathies go out to the families of the victims, many of whom we just got to spend time with, some of whom do not know where their loved one is right now, many fearing and expecting the worst because they have not heard from them and have received no news. We also met incredibly heroic El Pasoans who have survived the most devastating injuries that I can imagine, many of them shot many times over, who are pulling through right now. Just had a chance to talk to University Medical Center President Jacob Cintron, the nurses and the doctors who are taking care of these patients, absolute all-time heroes. This community that is bringing more food than anybody can eat right now inside, that is donating more blood than we could have possibly expected. El Paso is really showing up and standing up for our fellow El Pasoans right now. Lastly, just want to say I'm so grateful to the El Paso Police Department and the first responders and everyone who is on the scene today, including many of you who have to live with something that we thought we would never, ever see in El Paso. More murders today than we have in an average year in the city of El Paso. We don't know all the details yet, and we await the completion of this investigation. But what I'm hearing from statements from the El Paso Police Department, preliminary indications that this is motivated by hatred, by racism, by an intolerance that is foreign to El Paso, and in fact had to be brought somewhere else into this community to do something like what we are seeing right now. And so I would just say that in addition to everything that we're doing for our fellow El Pasoans right now and meeting them in this time of suffering and need and crisis, in addition to making sure that we change our laws so that it's harder for something like this to happen again, I think we also have to ask ourselves about the level of hatred and racism that we're seeing in this country right now that could lead to an event like the one that we saw here today. And that is on all of us to both call out and to stop, and in our case in El Paso, to be the example of how we don't just respect one another, we embrace our differences as the very source of our strength. So could not be more proud of El Paso and the way that we're responding to this tragedy today.
Now, I had no problem with that statement, but he continued in later accusing Trump of it. He called Trump a racist. There's no evidence that he's a racist. Let's listen to him in another venue.
He is an open, avowed racist and is encouraging more racism in this country. And this is incredibly dangerous for the United States of America right now.
The same person. That's inexcusable. But they're lying about President Trump. And let me quickly say, I'm not a Democrat, not a Republican. I didn't vote for him, but I believe in fairness. And that's why I played his statement in full. People that know him say he's not a racist. What they've made is words, two words. One is infested, that he used in a tweet. Most cities, including Dallas, but most cities are infested with rats. Maybe you're not your neighborhood, but there are neighborhoods in almost any major city that is infested with rats. And he was referring to Baltimore, where we've had in the past Democratic representatives, mayors, saying the same thing. But to take it out of context and say that's racist, that's using Nazi language. This is dishonest. And that's why many people are leaving both political parties. They no longer trust nor believe their own representatives and elected government officials. They will say anything to either stay in power or get power. And we saw that on the Sunday news show. They were all blaming Trump for this. No, people that did the shooting are responsible for it. Could it have been prevented? Maybe, maybe. But it wasn't. Passing another law is not going to stop this. It will continue. And even with the new law, do you really think the criminals are going to obey it? I don't. That's why it's incumbent on American citizens to stand up and defend their right to keep and bear arms that we have under the Constitution. Because we have the Democratic Party that will use every single mass shooting to try to limit your rights to keep and bear arms. I don't agree with President Trump's statement that he's favors so-called red flag laws. First, who's pushing red flag laws? Democrats. Democrats. It's a way to limit your rights under the Constitution. Like I said, if they want to do away with the Second Amendment, there's a process set up in the Constitution to do it. The reason why they don't even start it, they knew they would get nowhere. So instead, they do it indirectly. So I do not in any way support the president's effort to come up with a bipartisan law and trying to really, the problem with it is due process. You need due process. With the red flag laws, and there's about, 14 states that already have them, they can confiscate your weapons. And in some states, you'll never get them back. Anyone can accuse you of making a remark, take it to a judge, but you're not in the courtroom. And then they knock on your door and take your weapons. That's the fundamental problem. There's a lack of due process. It's giving the power to the local authorities to confiscate your weapons with no hearing. Eventually, there is a hearing. Don't misunderstand. I don't want to misrepresent the situation. But initially, all it takes is one or more people to say you made a remark, and therefore you pose a threat. You could be the next mass shooter. You may or may not have made the remark. And most of these people that do the mass shooting are not mentally ill. Due process is key, as is your right to keep and bear arms. Do not let a determined Democratic Party and some Republicans challenge your right. Because eventually you might end up like the citizens of Iran, disarmed, or the citizens of Australia, disarmed, where a tyranny slowly but surely emerges. We have the Second Amendment to protect us from the tyrants, no matter what their name or political ideology. The founders were wise to put it in. So if President Trump wants to cross the aisle and pursue this red flag legislation, I won't be voting for him or any Democrat or Republican that votes for it. He should be alerted to the fact that the biggest supporters of these red flag laws are what I call the radical extremist Democrat socialists, most of the people running for president, and really most, if not all, of the final four or five people running for president on the Democratic side, they are reds. They're radical extremist Democrat socialists. They would, if they could, do away with your Second Amendment rights. They might even go after due process, because that's what these red flag laws do. See, you're not in the courtroom when they go to the judge, the district attorney, and the one or two or three people. It's a one-sided, very much like the FISA court. And then once the judge signs the order, the police come to your house and confiscate your weapons. And you may or may not ever see them again. And in some states, they'll destroy the weapons. Eventually, you might get your day in court. You see, what they're trying to do is stop a crime before a crime has ever been committed. Think about that for a minute. There was a movie, and I do have it on my, and I've seen this movie at least twice, Minority Report, where this is in the future, where supposedly they have the ability, the technology, to predict when someone is going to kill or murder someone. So the police show up before you have the opportunity to kill whoever you're going to kill and arrest you. I recommend you see that movie together with another one that should scare you, that I just by accident saw again, Enemy of the State. Today, it's the government that you should be fearful of. They're spying on you. They're surveilling on you. And if they ever make you a target, you could end up in prison and be innocent. Oh, yes, it would be an abuse of power, but that's not going to stop them. They're movies. They're entertainment. But the reality in many countries today is far worse. You must defend your rights. You must stand up and challenge the politician. And unfortunately, we have two political parties, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, that have turned into big government parties. They've made a total financial mess of this country. They're burdening future generations as well as current generations. It's out of control. It's out of control. Don't think the government can stop mass shootings. They will continue. This was, in both situations, a terrorist attack. Be careful, though, of definitions. There's no standard definition of what a mass shooting is. That's the random killing, usually by gun, of four or more people. There are some organizations that, to, I think, scare you, where you have three or four people or more injured, but no one killed. Most people think of mass shootings as you have fatalities, murder victims. There's only been four in the Trump administration. I think there was over two dozen in the Obama administration. They will occur, and no law is going to stop it. We have many laws on the books. Homicide in every state is a felony crime. People will get their guns either legally or illegally if they're determined to engage in this activity. Don't let mass shootings be the way that the left in this country eliminates your Second Amendment right. Even if President Trump tries to counter the repeated lies of him being a racist by going along with this, he's being ill-advised, and I think he's betraying one of his promises. He came over as very strong for the Second Amendment. I am having my doubts on that, as well as the big border barrier, and he has not removed the 30 to 60 million. He's not even up to a million, folks. Are you surprised that people are leaving both the Democrat and Republican parties? I'm not. But nothing fundamentally will change until we have a new political party that believes in a representative republic under our Constitution and wants balanced budgets, financial responsibility, not larger and larger deficits and more unfunded liabilities and obligations. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.